Evening anglers, welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd and it's Friday the 15th of January. On tonight's show we replay an interview with Selwyn Hodder. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand, and the staff there will help you choose the gear and then show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. On tonight's show, we replay an interview with Aaron West, champion fly fisherman. Aaron West started competition fly fishing in 1996 and first qualified for the national championships in 1997, where he won the silver medal. He has a very enviable record at the New Zealand National Championships, having competed in 12 nationals and has been national champion a record four times, 2004, 2005, 2007 and 2011. Aaron has represented New Zealand at five world championships. They were in Poland twice, Spain, Slovakia and New Zealand. He has also represented New Zealand in Commonwealth and Oceania Fly Fishing Championships. He is also on the board of Sport Fly Fishing New Zealand. Aaron is a much respected and admired fisherman, and he willingly shares his expertise when it comes to fly fishing. He's live on here with Hooked on Fly Fishing now. Good evening, Aaron.
Good evening, Colin. How are you?
I'm very well. Are you well?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Congratulations on becoming the 2011 National Fly Fishing Champion. Well done, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks. It was great.
Well done. Four times. No one's ever done that before.
No, not yet.
No, well, I don't think they will for quite a while.
You never know.
Okay, Aaron, can we start with a quick explanation of the rules of sport fly fishing, please?
Yeah, well, essentially we're governed by international rules. The main thing is it's a catch and release competition, so barbless hooks, and it's a fly fishing competition, so we have a few rules based around that, but main ones are the weight must be hidden within the dressing. We're allowed to use a single bead head, with the boats you have drifting boats, and no electronic gear such as depth finders and the things like that.
You're not allowed fish finders?
Yeah.
No. Okay, and there's a maximum number of flies there?
Maximum of three flies, generally. Yep. Depends on where we're going. In Slovenia, where the World Team's going next year, apparently it's only one fly, so...
Is that right?
That will be a bit different. Yeah, so...
Has that happened in the past? We've always had three flies here, or it used to be two, but...
So. Yeah, it used to be two, and then it's gone to three. It just depends on the local rules.
Okay.
Some competitions you can have several rods set up on the bank during a session, and...
Okay.
Whereas in New Zealand, you can't do that.
All right, that's good. Okay, let's get down to the competition itself. Where was the 2011 competition held, Aaron?
Well, we had a bit of a two-part series this year for a change, and so the first part was on the Tukituki River down in Sunny Hawke's Bay,
yes.
Right next to Waipukurau, and we had 20 beats. We got 20 anglers in the nationals, and had 20. Sections of river marked out, about sort of 300 metres long each.
Okay.
We fished those for 3 hours at a time for four sessions, so a total of 12 hours fishing.
Okay. Now, the Tukituki River, did you fish from the confluence of the Waipawa up or below that?
We were above that.
Above the confluence.
Pretty much the Waipukurau Bridge was the centre.
Yes, okay.
We had 10 above and 10 below, so...
Okay, now I've only fished from the confluence down. Does it narrow up there?
Quite a bit smaller where the Waipawa, and it's quite a big jump in size.
Yeah.
I myself have basically done no fishing up there before.
Okay.
Either very little, yeah.
Okay. So, as you mentioned, the river's divided into 20 beats, and you draw a number at random?
Yep.
Okay. So, how did you go in the first three-hour session on the first day, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. session one? Where did you go on the river, and tell us what happened?
Yeah, well, I was on beat 16, which was part of the lower section, it was a good beat, quite long. Had some flat water in the middle, which was shallow water in the middle, which wasn't... Well, it didn't look fishy to me anyway. But had a nice run at the bottom and started there, had a nice easy flow. So I fished an indicator. It's using an orange coil on a tapered leader. So you have a tapered leader and then a short orange coil section, which is a bit easier to see. You gink it up. It acts as an indicator, okay. Which is one of the main rules we should have talked about before, was you're not allowed to use an indicator as such, as far as the sort of Tongariro style or anything like that. It has to be either a fly or a coloured section of nylon. So in this case, I just used a coloured section of nylon to try and pick up the takes, just nymphing with two nymphs underneath.
Okay. Now, it's got a coil, so you know when a fish is bitten because it straightens the coil. Is that correct?
Sort of. It's not... it's a bit misleading. The coil I use is quite an open sort of... It's almost like a pig's tail, extended pig's tail.
Okay.
It just makes it a bit more visible on the water. For anyone who wants to try them, we just boil the... You wrap it, use a bit of kebab stick and do about 15 turns around that. And you split it at both ends and hook it, leave a good tag either end.
Yes.
And just boil it in a pot of water for say 5-10 minutes. Some people put a bit of vinegar. I used to put a little bit of vinegar in the pot. And then once you take it out of that, you put it in the freezer and freeze them. And then you just have them in a bag in your vest and pull them out and take them off the kebab stick and use them.
Understand. Well, there you go, Angus. There's the tip. There's the first tip straight off. How to make an indicator so it's easy to see, so you can detect the takes. That's the reason you do it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's only real downfall is it gets pulled under very easily. Obviously, it's just a piece of nylon at the end of the day. So it works just for very light flies in shallow water. So I was mainly using a couple of 2.5mm tungsten flies, up to 3mm, but the technique is to fish quite short, so you're not doing a long cast and long drifts, you're casting shorter, and the flies are probably in the water for 3 to 4 seconds at the most.
And then you're lifting them
up lifting and then
flicking it upstream. You're always working your way upstream, are you?
Yeah, with nymphing, I generally prefer to fish above myself, fishing dead drift style.
Yes.
Although I don't mind swinging it. You know, you can get the odd one on the swing too, as you're moving up.
And the secret, you're saying, is to fish quite close to the fish. You're not casting 20 metres here, are you?
No.
Just one rod length, maybe 9, 10 feet of line out?
Yeah, a little bit longer for the chucky because it's low. It was quite small, a lot of glidey water and shallow. Depends where you're fishing. If it's more rougher water and bigger water, you can obviously fish closer to the fish. But
yes,
just want to make sure you're not spooking the fish before you catch them, really.
Okay. Now, you mentioned at the top you're fishing with a tapered leader. Is this a French leader, a camouflaged?
Yeah, there are different ones. I have a couple of leader setups. With the coil, I often do use quite a long camouflage leader, which is a special material that the French tend to use. It's not readily available in New Zealand, although Rod and Reel certainly do stock some of the leaders, which is where I got mine from.
So do you have a fly line, and then with a camo French leader, do you make a loop on that and attach that to your fly line?
I actually directly splice the line to the end of the leader, so I have a much more freer running...
Through the guides.
But you can just have a loop-to-loop. It's just... Okay. With that particular leader, it's quite a long leader. You often are casting with the... Or fishing when you cast out and retrieving back towards you. You end up pulling the leader into the rod tip, and then it's a pain to...
Oh, I get you.
...look it back out. So I permanently splice it onto the end of the fly line.
Okay, good.
So it runs smoothly. It's particularly good when you're playing fish too. It's not...
It doesn't catch in the rings.
Jolting through the guides, yeah.
Well, there's another tip. Angles make everything as smooth as possible, you reckon?
Yeah, for sure. It's a big thing is, you know, you don't want to be having tangles and problems like that when you're in a competition.
All comes down to preparation, Aaron. Is that
yep.
the one? Okay, now how did you go in session one?
Yeah, well, I ended up landed 36 in the 3 hours, which was was a very good result. There were quite a few others over 30. Des Armstrong got 40 in his first session, which was an awesome result. But yeah, 36, just nymphing up. Had one of my best sessions ever for landing fish. I hooked 40 fish all up, and I landed 37, but one was foul hooked, so it didn't count. But that's pretty exceptional sort of landing rate for.
It's a very good strike rate, because remember, you've got no barbs on, so you've got to keep that line tight and the rod high. And
yep. So yeah, exactly. And there were a few big fish. I got busted off by a couple of big fish and snags and that. So there's some great fishing down there. I must admit it was a lot of fun.
What sort of breaking strain tippet do you have on?
I generally use 5 pounds. Okay. Or did in that competition. I went down to 4 pound a couple of times, but 5 pounds pretty light. Can be a bit lean on some of the bigger fish sometimes, but I fish quite small flies, so you've got to be prepared to fish sort of finest, although it's not fine by world standards, but for New Zealand 5 pounds reasonably light.
Well, yes it is. Now, did you use the same technique, your upstream nymphing, for the whole 3 hours, or did you change your own?
In the first session I did chop and change a bit, just I hadn't seen the river or fished it for about 5 weeks, so tried a few different things. I tried a bit of dry nymphing, or even went to dry only, depended how it went. There was a bit of deeper water, I could see a few fish, so I went to dry nymph, and actually fished more in session probably with dry nymph in the end.
Okay, how far is your nymph under your dry fly, like 70 centimetres, something
like that? Yeah, about that, yeah. I usually go between about 70 to 90 centimetres at the most. Try and keep pretty close.
Okay.
It helps with the indication of the takes, and I certainly did miss plenty of fish as well, so there were a lot of fish there.
Is that right? But 36 in 3 hours... That's fantastic. That's what landed and counted. You actually hooked 40-odd. So
yeah.
That's fantastic fishing anywhere in the world, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's unbelievable. And there were some good fish in there. I mean, the bulk of them were fairly small. There were a lot of small rainbows about. But, it was certainly a lot of fun.
Very good.
Bearing in mind that you have to take each one back to the shore and measure each one and then release it before you carry on. You've obviously got an umpire with you measuring the fish, and
that's a good point. It is independent, isn't it? You do have to get it to an independent.
I'm just make it up myself. And
yeah, and you're right, you're standing in the river maybe waist deep, you hook a fish, you get in the net, you've got to wade ashore.
Yep.
The person's got to take it out, measure it, and then the fish has got to be released, and you've got to go back to your fish. So, yes, do that 40 times. And it takes a
bit of time of the session,
another good point. Okay, so 3 hours, 36 fish, you would have been pretty bloody pleased with that. You thought, I'm on my way here.
Yep. I know, it was a good start. I knew it was going to be pretty good. Yeah.
Okay, session two. You have a break for lunch and stuff like that. What happened session two?
Yeah, session two was very interesting because I got to follow Des Armstrong, who is, I'd consider at least as equal with me, if not better, on the competition side of things. So yes. It was a good challenge to follow him and fish the same bit of water because we fished the same 20 beats, obviously, so basically we just rotate and follow behind other people, which is a good test in competitions to see if you can catch fish behind someone else, which is what, most people would. If you see someone else fishing, you don't really want to be fishing behind them, do you?
Well, the fish get a bit spooky, that's what you're thinking?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, Tongariro, you expect it, but for most people generally fishing, they don't want to be fishing directly behind someone else. So
correct.
It is a good test.
And Des, as you say, got 40 out of that. But
yeah, he got 40 out of this, of it. So you can look at it two ways. You can either think, well, he's cleaned the beat out, or there's a hell of a lot of fish in there, so hopefully he's missed a few. And I certainly expected there to be a few fish. I know even in the beat I got 36 out of, there were, I knew there were plenty of fish still there that I hadn't touched, so.
Okay.
So, no, it was good. Des is a keen nympher, like myself, and so I knew it would be tough nymphing, and I did persevere with that for the first 2 hours. I stuck with the dry nymph. There's quite a strong wind, so dry nymphing is easier than some of the sort of yellow string and coral techniques where it gets blowed around by the wind.
Okay, yes.
And, you know, picking up those takes is important. And, yeah, I did, in the running water, Des had concentrated on fishing the sort of ripply water, the good runs, and I did really struggle in those, and was pretty lean, picked up a few here and there, but spent more time in the middle of the beat where there was a lot more slower, glidier water, slower fishing, and wasn't as productive as some of the other water, but there were fish there and got a few, yeah, so.
And when were you caught 28 in that session, is that?
I ended up with 28 in that session, which was good. I was gunning for 40 or at least 30, but I was very happy with 28. Yeah, okay. So I ended up nymphing all the way out in 2 hours and got about 14 on the board. And then for the last hour, I switched around to wet line fishing, which I used a clear intermediate, one of my favourite lines.
Yes.
And just fished it with basically three traditional wet flies, little size 14 March brown spider on the point. Did the damage, really. Got most of the fish.
Okay, good, reliable fly.
Yeah, to be honest, I have a lot of confidence in it, and I always have it on the point, and it tends to catch a lot of my fish, so, which is probably because I always have it on, so it's one of those
cycles.
That's
right, yes. Okay, so you worked your way back down, casting down, letting it drift down, and then retrieving back towards you.
Yeah, sort of doing the little fish like to chase, so often doing little short twitches. Mm-hmm. But it was... You know, I caught the same number of fish in 1 hour as I caught in 2 hours nymphing. So it was pretty successful, and I really ran out of time. I was, for the last half an hour, I was really frantic, sort of catch a fish, run back to the shore, and then run back out. And it was a lot of fun.
Okay. Was there less water on that beat, or was it pretty even flow all the way through? Or?
It was one of the upper beats. It had some bigger water. It sort of opened up, which is why it was slower.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot of water in the river because it was fairly low, so you could certainly see a lot of fish and make sure, you know, you could see the fish and you could know if you weren't doing very well because they were there to see, so you had to change your technique and
until something works.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. So, you've got to be adaptable and flexible. Okay, so at the end of day one, you would have been right up there as far as the results were concerned.
Yeah. Well, the way we did it, we had it split into two groups. So although Des caught 40 in the first session, he was in one group and I caught 36 in the other session, and we both scored a first place. So I managed to win both sessions in my group. So I was pretty much at the top. Yeah.
Well, you were joint leader at the end of day one.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the second day, the morning session, 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. What was the weather like on the second day? Had it changed markedly? Was it more overcast? Or?
No, we had very lucky with the weather. It was good. It was the wind did get up, but it, in fact it changed around the other way. Instead of blowing, being quite a strong downstream breeze, it was upstream. It was good weather. The beat I had was the worst producing one on the Saturday. It had only produced 13 fish in 6 hours of fishing. So, was a little bit, well, I didn't really know. I knew it was probably going to be my hardest section. But the way I sort of look at it is if people haven't caught many fish out of there, there's plenty more there that haven't got a sore mouth yet. So, you know, you are going to have some chances, and I was pretty confident there were fish there because there were just unbelievable number of fish in the beach. So, went into it a little bit apprehensive, I suppose, but I got down to the bottom of my beat, and there were fish tailing along the edge and rising. And
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah, it was a very good sign, yeah. I quite enjoyed. I used to do a lot of that sort of in the Manawatū, targeting tailing fish more early morning. They tend to disappear a bit later in the day. But if you get out there early in the morning, there are fish often just mooching around the shallows.
Okay, and how did you target them, Aaron?
I went down to fairly small flies, just had a little size 14 parachute Adams as an indicator, and then a little nymph, basically unweighted under that, about 2 feet, 60 centimetres underneath.
Okay, so you're just swinging it through there.
Yeah, just more targeting. You could see them moving and just casting and just sort of casting and drifting it past them.
Okay.
And picked up. Spent a little bit too much time actually doing that, to be honest, but I do enjoy that sort of fishing, and I picked up about three there like that. It's quite tough in that shallow water. It's hard to see you that early in the morning, quite clearly. So,
okay.
And then moved up through the bead and changed back to sort of short line nymphing with the coral, and fished up for quite a way in deeper water and along some willows. And I knew there were fish there, or should have been fish there, and I wasn't picking up anything. So I got out and changed to what we call yellow stringing, which is, for those who don't know, it's sort of a short line nymph thing, or tech nymph style of fishing. We just have a section of yellow, basically have a long, very long, like 20 metres, 30 metres of yellow line as your leader, which is 8 pound yellow line, and you just simply fish with that and cast the flies out, generally nymphs, because you need a bit of weight to cast them. And it's a good way to fish quite a drag-free drift without having fly line and heavy line dragging on the water.
Okay, but you do need to get relatively close to the fish, Aaron.
It does mean, yeah, if you've got heavy flies, it works. You can cast quite a long way with it, but I was using quite small flies again, a couple of 2.5 tungstens, it was a bit of effort to actually flick it out there. I sort of actually circled back round and went back down to about 50 metres through what I just fished and got nothing. And there was a bit of a slow eddy behind a willow on the other side. And with this yellow string technique, you can flick in, as long as you can get close enough, you can flick the flies into that slightly slower water and hold up the bulkier line out over that, because you're fishing over the faster water in front of you.
I know what you mean, yes.
I fished it with the coral, but although it doesn't look like it for a lot of people, you are actually getting a bit of drag, and the fish are used to seeing people cast flies in there, and they're slowly dragging, they're slightly dragging out, and they learn not to take those flies, I think. And so this sort of yellow string technique, you're sort of dropping the flies in, and there's nothing really else dragging them out, because you're actually going over those faster currents. And in this one particular spot, I actually started to see, I saw a couple of fish in there, and just kept working it, and managed to get landed four good fish out of that one little hole, which was good.
Okay, did you lose any to snags in that bit?
I fished up from there up using that same technique, and there were quite a few bigger fish there, pretty much predominantly bigger fish, sort of 40 centimetre plus, sort of 2.5, 3 pounds, some rainbows, and they just went ballistic when you hooked them. They just went nuts, and yeah, had a lot of fun running around and trying to avoid snags and taking me into snags, and got snagged several times and busted off a couple of times and dropped a few.
It's frustrating, but that's just part of it.
I must admit I was having a lot of fun, to be honest. It would have been nice to land a few more, I suppose, but it was certainly a lot of fun.
And you ended up with 17 in the 3 hours.
Yeah,
so that was a good result.
It was good, yep. Yeah, it actually, it even won me the session again, so very luckily someone, Nigel Juby, had landed 23, but with our point system it goes on length of fish, and my fish, although I only had 17, but most of them were big fish, and just beat his 23, which is... was good.
Okay,
yeah.
That's right. Okay, you had a break for lunch.
Yep.
And then the last session on the Tuki Tuki River, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Session 4. You're leading the competition at this moment. What are you thinking? You're thinking, don't blink, just hold it all together, don't stuff it up. You can be leading the comp.
Yeah. Well, blanking was really. I mean, even catching 4 or 5 fish was almost a blank, basically, so one fish wasn't going to get you very far.
Yes.
And this competition was just such unbelievable fishing. But I knew it was a pretty good beat, and it had produced 30 fish on the previous afternoon, on the Saturday afternoon, so, you know, but it is tough. Obviously, you're getting a bit of water that's already been fished by three other anglers for 3 hours each, and they've been trying to catch as many as they can. So it's always is tough, and the numbers dropped overall on all the beats.
That's pretty standard, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's getting pretty tough when people have been running around catching fish.
Yes. Chomping through the water and
I was always confident I was going to catch some fish, but yeah, you never know how many you're going to get.
But you started off slowly in that session.
I did. I just saw all these fish. I mean, I got down to my bait, and there were these fish just lined up along the edge, rising and cruising, and I just couldn't resist myself sort of spot fishing for them as I used to love doing, which I don't really do enough of that anymore, I must admit. A lot of it is blind fishing and the likes, particularly being up around Auckland, you don't have those sight fishing opportunities. So it was great to try and target them, but did find them very tough. I went to sort of light, sort of dry nymph combo, as I sort of explained earlier, and even dry only and nymph only with an unweighted size 16 here in Copper. And I must have had, in the first hour, I would have had over probably 50 refusals at least. I'd had these fish come over and sort of shake their head. Had a few sort of nip at the flies, but didn't really hook up, and dropped a couple of fish. And by the time I got to the top of the beat, I had, it was half the session had gone, and I'd only landed 2 fish, so... things weren't looking so rosy then.
But you did turn it around, though.
Yeah. Well, I was always confident that... Well, you can never be totally confident in fishing, but I was fairly sure that wet fly fishing was going to be quite good. So I always knew I had that up my sleeve. And I managed to find a pocket right at the top and pull out half a dozen nymphing at the top. But that only left me sort of 3/4 of an hour to go, and I had 8 fish at that stage. And then I quickly wet line back down, and it did prove to be very successful. They were just fish climbing over themselves, trying to take the flies at the end, and again run out of time. It would have been nice to have another half an hour, I suppose. Managed to land 16, and actually just tipped against Rob Vaz from probably 1 centimetre. He got 16 fish as well in the beat above me, but I just beat him by 1 centimetre, which is...
It can be that close.
Out of 16 fish. So,
that's amazing, isn't it?
So pretty amazing to, again, win the session. So.
So at the end of the river component, you were well in front. You were the leader overall.
Yeah. Well, I'd won all four sessions of my group and was, couldn't have done any better, really.
That's right. And just to summarise, you landed 97 fish in 12 hours. And overall, there were 1,117 fish landed by the 20 anglers on the Tukituki River.
Yeah.
And all fish are released. It's incredible, isn't it?
Pretty amazing sort of statistic, really.
That's right.
1,100 fish, considering that, other than the first session, everyone's fishing behind other anglers, you know, so exactly. It's not fresh, easy fishing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, 2 weeks later, the lake component was held at Lake Aniwhenua.
Yep.
Session one, Lake Aniwhenua. Where did you go on the lake and how did you go, Aaron?
Yeah, well, the lake was interesting. I hadn't actually seen the lake for many, many years. We used to fish it in the Nationals probably 5 or 6 years ago, but it was sort of a bit of an unknown for me. I didn't get a chance to go and have a look at it or anything. So I first drew Garth Plank in the boat, and he had fished in a regional that we had there a month beforehand and done quite well down near the ski lane near the bottom of the lake. And he was obviously quite keen to go there, but it can be a bit of a hit and miss thing at the ski lane. They're either there or they're not, and you're sort of a bit stuck you're not stuck, but I was really keen to go to the top of the lake, mainly because it's shallow water and I knew a lot of boats would head up there and it tends to push the fish down. It's good to get in there and get a few fish early and then you can maybe look at trying other spots.
Okay. Because you've got to get fish in the boat, don't you?
Well, particularly, you know, I did have a very healthy lead, but, you know, I didn't want to blow my lead.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, we were sort of actually, even at the start of the session, as we were motoring up, sort of debating where to go, but in the end we shot up to the top. There's not too many other boats were heading up there, which was a bit surprising. We went right up to what's known as the Poplars, for those that may know it. There was a bit of current up there, which is the other reason why I wanted to get up there, because it was quite a still day, almost all day. We had very little wind. And so that made it tough, because we're drifting in boats, and if there's no wind, you're sitting in one spot, and it usually isn't very productive, because once you've done a few casts, you've either caught or spooked any fish that you're going to catch.
How did you go on session one?
Yeah, ended up just using an intermediate and retrieving small flies, and I got 8 fish.
Okay, that's good.
Which was reasonably good. It gave me a second in my group.
Okay, now it's session two in the afternoon.
Yep.
Still on Aniwhenua.
Yep.
Can you quickly tell us how you went there, please, Aaron?
Yeah, no, that was interesting. I fished with Peter Scott, and we raced up the top because he had done well in the first session, and didn't get off to a great start with Peter landing 2 in the first few minutes, and I didn't touch anything, but after about sort of half, 3 quarters of an hour, I changed back to the intermediate, and got 3 fish in a row, so bam, bam, bang, and that gave me a chance to relax, really. I knew that was probably going to be enough, and managed to end up with 6 fish for the session. So
6 fish is good. Did you outfish Peter James Scott?
No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, bugger.
The bugger. He caught 5 fish, and I got 6, but on points basis, he caught a couple, three good ones, and just put me on points, actually.
All right, so you had 2 good sessions on the lake, and you finished 2nd overall on the lake, Aaron, and that was certainly easily first place overall. You were well in front, weren't you?
Yeah.
So at the end of the river competition, the lake competition, you're number 1 national champion 2011. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Now, very well done. Now, quickly, what's happening next in your fishing, Aaron? Are you off to Oceania's, or what's happening next?
No, probably not a lot. I have a bit of a break, I think. I've qualified for Slovenia and there's the Commonwealth next year for New Zealand, but unsure as to whether I will go at this stage. So we'll see. I'm not fishing the Oceanias at the end of the year.
Okay, so you're going to have a bit of a break. Yeah. Do you ever fish for fun, Aaron, or is it always competitive?
Well, it's ended up being more competitive, unfortunately, nowadays. Our competitions do tend to happen over summer when you would normally get out fishing. So, but I do enjoy the competition stuff.
Yeah.
I don't get out for fun as much as I used to. Yeah.
Okay. Aaron West, 2011 National Fly Fishing Chairman. Thanks for talking to Hooked on Fly Fishing, Aaron. And enjoy your break. And we'll see you on the water sometime over summer.
Cool, will do.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Colin.
See ya. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay, Mr. Aaron West, appreciate that. Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.
Quando chega a festa, ele é a cidade, sim.